first time Brother Bill and I sat down and visited, we talked about discipleship for an hour, just as two brothers in Christ. Brother Bill just finished his master's degree in discipleship. He got his bachelor's degree in music. But after about an hour, I thought, well, I guess we could talk about music a little bit. And you know, I found out he loves singing about the Lord. Well, why wouldn't we? It's just a natural overflow in the heart when you know Jesus. Amen. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Well, when I found out that Brother Bill was 39 years old, I thought, well, I'll be 9 years old in a couple months. Yeah. You know, you always wonder what was going through the heart of the psalmist when a song was written. But there's that point at which we hear these words, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Now, a lot of our old-time churches, they would be right there, amen. So, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Okay, just making sure y'all are awake. Every now and then when I first started pastoring, I'd go to some little church way out in the middle of nowhere, like Macedonia number 10 church, way out in some woods, and that was before they had GPS, and they would tell me how to get to the church, and I would go out there and I would walk in the little sanctuary, but way back in the corner they had what they called an Amen Corner. And every now and then they had the Amen Corner off to the side. And every now and then when I would go in, most of the churches had long since given them up and nobody sat there anymore. But I would go in sometime and there would be an old man sitting in there who still felt like there needed to be an Amen Corner. Apparently, there was the need for an Amen Corner in Psalm 107. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. We have an adversary. Now, if you talk to so many people today, you will find out quite quickly that in their normal conversation, we have some adversaries that we see are our opponent in life. So much of the time, what I find, financial issues. We consider financial issues an adversary. There are problems with family relationships, relationships at work. There are certainly always adversaries with our health issues. But when we get to Psalm 107, and he says, "The loving kindness of the Lord is everlasting," he's not talking about these temporary or temporal things. He's talking about these eternal things, and we need a love from God that lasts forever, and we have it. And so it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Okay, we're going to get the Amen Corner going, aren't we? Yeah, as I was thinking about getting the Amen Corner again in life, back in the church, it's not just to hear an amen. You know, when I first came here, every now and then I would hear a Rufus say amen. But you know, your heart needs to have that sense of, "Oh, when I experience the love of God, it should be amen even if nobody else is around." You know what I'm saying? It just comes out of your life and it just ignites a fire within you. When I told Brother Chris about Brother Bill, man, he got excited. And I know why, because Brother Bill's 39 years old. But you know what the Bible says in another psalm, just a few psalms back? It says that God is so great that He redeems our life from the pit and He crowns us with this everlasting loving kindness and He renews our youth like an eagle. Well, I'm not going to fly this morning. But what a joy to be able to experience the things of the Lord and have that excitement again in you. That you feel like when you're young, that even when you are old, your heart is still on fire because God's presence and His love and His grace and His mercy are everlasting and will continue in your heart no matter how dilapidated the body gets. Amen? Ain't God good? But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Look at there. Okay, hang on. But you know, we say things about everything else. You know, because we think about these other adversaries that we have in life. Listen, if somebody gets a good report on a physical ailment, I a while back had a stress test, and my brother has had stents, my dad's had stents, so I just assumed that they were going to call and say, hey, come get a stent. And they said, just want to let you know that your stress test results are back and it was normal. And I said, repeat that. It was normal. That's a good thing, right? It's like, wow. Okay, so I was excited about that. I went out in the outer office. I said, y'all have the rest of the day off, man. I got a good report. And Sharon said, no, we have too much work to do. But you get a good report, you share that with somebody. If you get a new job that you've been excited about, you tell somebody about it. You're excited about that. If people get engaged, boy, they tell everybody around them. You know, it's interesting to me through the years of people who will call me or text me and say, Brother Matt, I got engaged. And I'm thinking, well, God bless you. Come see me in a hurry. Okay, so we say those things. And so the psalmist is saying, listen, if we're going to verbalize our excitement about these other things that happen in life that are temporal, because even though marriage is to be till death do us part, at death we're parting. It's like, you know, when Kay said, you know, hey, if I die, are you going to cremate me and keep me on the counter? And I said, no, it said till death do we part, and at death we parting. So, I mean, we're still hanging on. I mean, we're, 39 years now, working on the 39th year. And, you know, at about 32, I said, we made it. She said, what does that mean? I said, well, it's too late to turn back now. But these things are temporal, and yet the Word of God enables us to talk about something that is eternal, is a calculation in time that we cannot fathom. And so certainly to recognize that we have an adversary that is wanting to destroy our eternal life. When it says here, if you have been redeemed by the hand of that adversary, oh, you ought to want to tell somebody about it, because that's going to last forever and ever. And ever. Verse 8 and 9 put it this way. Let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. It's interesting. You know, we know the Psalms are songs, and this is very much like a lot of the songs in your hymn book where you've got a stanza and then you've got the chorus, because this verse 8 here is repeated three more times in this Psalm. You know, give thanks. Why? For verse 9, He has satisfied the thirsty soul, and the hungry soul He has filled with what is good. You know, so much of the Old Testament points us to the one Brother Bill was focusing on this morning, Jesus. Jesus said, I am, and then everything. But He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. See that verse? All the way back to Psalm 107. He who believes in me shall never thirst. And you realize that in the context of what Jesus was talking about, He was trying to get their minds off of physical bread and physical water. And so He's talking about those eternal things that His everlasting love provides. And so therefore, we're excited way back before even Jesus came that we're to let the redeemed are to let others hear it, because we have experienced this eternal love and grace of God. Now, let me stop and say this. How many people, and you hear it too, It's all around us. We talk about God's love. But when we have got our lives in a mess, we wonder then, is it really for me? You know, all those other good people who've lived kind of a good life, but what about for me? And a lot of times you're thinking, but the things that I have done, the damage that I have caused to my own life, I don't deserve that love. I don't deserve that redemption. Right, you don't. None of us does. We've rebelled against God. And that's what it says in verses 10 and 11. Verse 10 and 11 says, there were those who dwelt in darkness, in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery. You ever had a time in your life where your life could be defined as, man, I'm just miserable right now. I'm miserable right now. In this particular case, it shows that they were miserable and in chains because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Now, let's say something very positive, as judging and negative as that verse sounds. You're listening by way of radio. I'm holding up my Bible. I want to share something. When it says that we have rebelled against the Word of God, aren't you glad we have the Word of God? And so we those of us, especially who've been brought up in this environment, know there is a Word of God. There is a Word from God. Wherever we are in life, God is wanting to speak to us. And so praise God, we have that Word. We're admitting in this passage we have rebelled against it, but praise God, it is there. And what we would say in that, He is there because it is His Word. But it says here they were in that shape because they rebelled against the Word of God. But it should work that way, and we should be glad it works that way, that God has a plan for life and that He has warned us. And if we live outside of that plan, we cannot help but expect to have problems and misery. And so there is that sense of repentance. We rebelled. And so what does God do when we rebel? Well, He just wipes us off the face of the planet and gives up on us. Aren't you glad that's not there? Well, it will be one day before long if we're not careful. But the Holy Spirit has a way with each of us to get our attention. And boy, you can tell it sometimes, oh, I know the Lord's trying to get my attention. And so in this particular case, it says in verse 12 through 14a, therefore, He humbled their heart with labor. Of course, one of the things, you could look back in several different stories. Certainly, they look back to the bondage in Egypt so much, and they were under these cruel taskmasters. But they stumbled, and there was none to help. One of the things that happens in our lives a lot of times, we start to go through a bad time, and let's just be honest, we have become so seemingly self-sufficient in this society. We never really are, but we feel like we are. And then when something goes bad, and a lot of times we're in some kind of miserable circumstance and we realize, I can't fix this. I don't have the power to fix this. I don't have the resources to fix it. I don't have the wisdom to fix it. I need a much, much, much greater help. And so the Lord has this way of convicting us and reminding us that we need to give Him attention. And so it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them out of their distresses. I love how quickly that song moves from they cried to the salvation. It just reminds me of the life of Christ so much that immediately Peter was thinking, he stretched out his hand and took hold of him. And so He saved them out of their distresses because they called on the Lord. You say, but I don't know if that's for me or not. Yes, it is. Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Whosoever. See, that's part of the joy of being able to share the gospel with somebody. You go to share the gospel with somebody, well, Jesus died for our sins, He shed His blood, and that blood is so powerful, it is able to cover all the sins of all the world. Yeah, but I don't know if it's free. No, the Bible says, whosoever. Remember that old hymn we used to sing? Whosoever will. Whosoever. So it's for me too. He brought them out of darkness, the shadow of death. Look at verse 15. It is that refrain again. So let them give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness and for His wonders to the sons of men. So there's that a call to be thankful again. Why? Because again, verse 17 and 18, we have been fools. We've been rebellious. Our own iniquities have brought these things upon us, and we draw near to death. So what do? Again, we cry out to God. Look at verses 19 and 20. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Again, yes. He saved them out of their distresses. Again, yes. Aren't you glad He can do it more than once? Now, I'm not talking you need to be saved and you get lost and saved and get lost. I'm not talking about that. But so much of the time in the Old Testament, when it uses the word deliverance or the word salvation, it's talking about some physical realm problem that we're experiencing, and we call upon God's help. We call upon the one and only God, Jehovah, and He delivers. And so then we're going to be excited about it, and we're going to call on Him and call on Him, as He says in another psalm, because the Lord has inclined His ear to me, therefore I shall call on Him as long as I live. So, notice verse 20 there in this passage. It says, He sent His word and healed them. What did we say a while ago? We had rebelled against the word, but thank God we've got that word. God's word is so powerful. The Bible says He casts out demons with a word. We've been talking about on some of our Sunday nights, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over the demons. He's Lord over Satan. He's Lord over disease. He's Lord over time and space. He's Lord over everything, and aren't you glad? And so His word, He can simply speak a word and cast out demons, cast out diseases. He can speak a word and the wind and the sea obey Him, and thank the Lord He speaks a word in our life to bring deliverance to us. If you're in your Bibles, I'm going to scoot all the way to verse 43 so it doesn't throw you off. Verse 43, it says, who is wise? Now let's be honest. Folks in this day and time, we all think we're pretty smart. And so who is wise? Let him give heed to these things. What things? That God is so gracious that when we rebel, instead of just giving up on us, He gets our attention in some way. And when we call on Him, He saves us whosoever. And so give heed to these things and consider the loving kindnesses of the Lord. It reminds me of a verse we know so well in Romans chapter 12. I don't have this on the screen, but you know it well. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Paul is saying, now listen, and of course when you read the whole book, when he gets to that point, he's saying, listen now, having talked about all of this, I want you to consider how merciful God is. See what this verse says is considering the loving kindnesses, considering the mercies of God. Paul is saying, when you think about what Jesus did for you when you did not deserve it, the least you can do is give your body as a living sacrifice. Give your body as a living sacrifice. So, back where we were, verse 21, there's that refrain again. So give thanks to the Lord for His loving kindness, for His wonders to the Son of Men. Verse 22, let them offer sacrifices, tying Romans 12:1, a living sacrifice of thanksgiving. We are so grateful for what the Lord has done for us, and tell of His works with mediocre singing. Wait a minute, that's the wrong translation. Tell of His works with lazy singing. No. What's the word? Joyful singing. Joyful singing. Redeem how I love to proclaim. Blessed Savior, we adore Thee. You with me? Blessed Savior, we adore Thee. We Thy love and mercy claim. Thou art mighty, Thou art holy. Glorious is Thy matchless name. Oh, listen. I've been so excited about talking with Bill because I can tell he's excited about the Lord. And when you're excited about the Lord and your minister of music is excited about the Lord, then he's going to encourage us not to just get in an emotional moment, but that we're going to be singing about this God, that there is none like Him. And that ought to be the overflow of our heart all the time as a song. Tell of His works with joyful singing. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God. They don't need to be singing. But boy, if you know Him, how can you help but want to sing? We didn't deserve it, but we cried out. And when other powers would have turned a deaf ear because we're so useless, God heard and God moved and God spoke and God delivered. God saved a wretch like me. So, back to verse 2 and we're closed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Whom He has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. We're still living in a society where Satan has not only made it difficult to share the gospel, but we have convinced ourselves, or let him convince us, that nobody wants to hear anyway, and I'm not gifted at that, and all of those kind of things. And I'm with you. It's very difficult. Okay? The other side of the coin is, if you just experience the Lord, there are going to be different ways that the Lord has gifted you and uses you for that joy to overflow out of your heart. And the people around us, Christians, need to hear it because we need to remember that joy. But then lost people are going to see something in our life that they don't have that would be obvious, okay? They're going to see something. Ever gone to somebody's house and you know them pretty well or things are pretty relaxed, and so maybe you're sharing a meal together and you want something else to drink, so you get up and you just go on to their refrigerator? Now, you don't do that with everybody. But with some folks, you just go right to their refrigerator and you look in and you can't help but notice the things that are different in there that are things than your refrigerator. Oh, my goodness. They don't just have the Walmart brand. They got the good stuff. Listen, I want you to know without a doubt, as you are living your life in this world, people can tell there's something different about the children of God because the Spirit of Christ is there in the heart and overflowing. And so it's just going to come out of your life. You don't need to try to fake a presentation. Just be yourself in Christ, and the Lord will use that in a great way. Why? Because we are the redeemed. We did not deserve it, and He paid such a price. It is incalculable with our way of calculating things of what God did in Christ in shedding His blood for us. And so we are redeemed, and we love to proclaim it. Let me pray with you. Father, thank you for your grace. What a joy it is to be able to indeed praise you, knowing that by no merit of our own did you get on that cross and stay there in Christ. Thank you so much for the shed blood, the power of the blood to cleanse us of sin, to save us, the everlasting love that not only blesses us in temporal times, but lasts forever and ever and ever. And Lord, we just praise you because we know that in your grace also, you want us to be a part of that, that we might encourage one another in who we are in you, and also that the world may be able to come and look on the inside of us and see we got the good stuff because we have you. And it is your presence and power that makes all the difference in the world. And then we have the joy of sharing you with them also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen.